Okay, today's daf is Nun Vav. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Tana Rabbanan on Nun He Amud Bet. Refuah Shleima Lebo'az Ben Shoshana Dvar Batino Es Avram Shimon Ben Chana Orli Pnina Bar Rachel Frida Chaya Malka Esther Bat Zipor Yosef Ben Rachel Bar Rivka Yelmir Bar Chaya Yaakov Ben Rosa Dafna Chaya Bat Sara Taya Rachel Bat Tamar Sara Leiloi Nishma Chana Bat Atar Rezo Bat Sara Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Halevi Umlava. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We're continuing along on this Maser Sheni issue. Okay, if you remember, what was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? We're going to see it again inside, but Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was Maser Sheni, there was a machlok at Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir said Maser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa, and therefore you can't marry someone with Maser Sheni. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's, even if you did it b'mezid, you can marry, because it's Mamon Hedyot, and therefore you can get married with it. So now, that's if it's b'mezid. If it's b'shogeg, then what do we assume? That if when they realize that it's Maser Sheni and they have to bring it to Rosh Hashanah, they'll say, I never wanted the sale to go through, and therefore it's a mekach ta'ut. But in the mezid case, it would work, and that's what we're going to deal with today. So just to give you a heads up, I organized it in the sheet so you'll see. We're going to start with a contradiction between this brighter we're going to bring and Rabbi Yehuda's sheet to the b'mezid kidesh that we just discussed. Okay, we're going to then give a solution. Then we're going to say, well, that contradicts another brayta. We're going to give a solution. And then we're going to also bring one third contradiction. We're basically going to, if you look at, like, call this A, B, and C, we're going to say A and B contradict. Then we're going to say B and C contradict. And then we're going to say A and C contradict. Okay? So, and then each time we're going to have a solution. And then we're going to move on to a new Mishnah. Tana Ravanan. Ein lokhim behema b'maot maser sheni. You can't buy an animal with the maot of maser sheni. Okay? Now, what does this mean? Maser sheni, okay, let's start way back. Maser sheni is, again, it's the set, right? It's the, after you do the truma and then the maser for the levi, you then take maser sheni in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, and you bring it, right, the other years of maser ani, you bring it to Yerushalayim, you basically flip it onto a coin. If you do your pidyon for your own stuff, you have to add a chomesh. If you do pidyon for someone else's stuff, then you don't have to add a chomesh. And then you bring the money to Yerushalayim, and you buy stuff in Yerushalayim. Now, what do you buy with it? The maser comes from your fruits. However, what you buy with it is not necessarily fruits. You can buy fruits. It has to be something you can eat. And you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. It could also be animals. And one of the most common things they bought with Maaser Sheni money was animals for sacrifices. Because people always brought voluntary sacrifices. So they took their money, brought voluntary sacrifices with it. So now, if you want to buy a behema outside of Yerushalayim, it doesn't say that inside, but if you look at Rashi, that's what he explains. Chutz LiYerushalayim, okay? You're not allowed to buy an animal outside Yerushalayim with your Maaser Sheni money. Okay? You can't do like a double pidyon kind of thing. Okay, let me buy an animal and then switch it for coins. Because the assumption is you're never going to end up bringing it all the way to Yerushalayim because it's far, right? It's a headache. Or also, something might happen to the animal on the way and then you'll be messed up. So, basically, you're not allowed to do this. Now, what if you did? Okay, which is like our issue. Im lakach b'shogeg yachzeru damim l'mkomam. Like we've talked about before, if it's done b'shogeg and you sold it, right, you bought this animal with your Maaser Sheni money, the guy who gets the money didn't know his Maaser Sheni. When he gets it, he says, what are you talking about? I never would have bought this had I known you were giving me I never would have sold this had I known it was Maaser Sheni money. And therefore, the sale goes back. And you could say also that the guy who bought it never would have done it because he knows it's not, you're not supposed to do that. But what if you did this b'mezid? So b'mezid, ta'aleh v'te'achel b'makom. If you did it b'mezid, you have to take this animal and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Okay. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, b'med dvarim amurim. In what's the case where this is, where does this hold? Okay, now this is going to be important because this is Rabbi Yehuda. When is this true that you have to bring it to Yerushalayim? It's when you bought it and you intended to use it for a carbon. Then you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. If you plan to use it for chulin purposes, okay, you bought this animal, you have two options, right? You did it b'mezid. You knew it was Maaser Sheni money. So there's two possibilities now. Either you bought it and you said, well, I'm going to buy this animal with my Maaser Sheni money, even though I'm outside Yerushalayim, I'm going to buy it with an animal. I'm going to buy an animal. I'm going to bring it to Yerushalayim and sacrifice it there. That's one possibility. Then, that's exactly what you have to do. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim. And that's what the Braita said. But Rabbi Yehuda says, but if you were mitzkaven, that you didn't care about Maaser Sheni, and lo echpat lecha, right? I don't care. So what if this is Maaser Sheni? I'm going to buy an animal, and I'm going to do what I want with the animal here. I'm going to use it to work, my land, whatever he wants. So if he intended mamash to go against halacha, basically, so then, bein shogeg, bein mezid, whether it was accidental or whether it was on purpose, okay, he even says the unintentional, which anyway, right, in the unintentional case the first time, obviously, yachzeru damim limkomam, but also, bemezid, yachzeru damim limkomam. Okay, we're going to get into exactly what the issue is here, but basically, they say that this is a knas that the rabbis put, a fine, a penalty. If you intended to do an avera, then we're going to penalize you. Now, what we're going to see later is who's being penalized here. Yachzeru damim limkomam is not such a problem for the guy who bought it because he could just go, you know, buy something else. They claim that it's really a penalty for the seller because he wants to get rid of his stuff. So if he doesn't get rid of his stuff, right, the buyer is still left with his money. He hasn't lost anything. But the seller is now stuck with his animal that he was trying to sell, and it's a knas for him. Later we're going to discuss why exactly it's a knas for him. The first assumption seems to be that what happened, if he's selling it to the guy, it's lifnei yiver lo titei mechshol. He's allowing someone to purchase something with Maaser Sheni money that he's going to use for chulin. Another, right? You follow?
Yeah, but you're assuming that here is
so the assumption is that, right. So you have to assume that both of them know, according to this, that both of them know it's Maaser Sheni. The seller knows, okay, now this is a very interesting thing. He knows that the guy he's selling this to, that he's taking Maaser Sheni money from, he knows that this guy is going to use the animal for chulin. And it's his fault for selling it to him. Because think about it, right? We're going to get into this later in the Gemara. But if he didn't sell it to him, so the guy never would have done the Avera. And that's why it's considered Lifnei Iver. Okay, you can debate it. Okay, and in the end, the Gemara is going to reject this. Okay, but that's going to be the first assumption. So now, what's the issue here? Okay, what do we have here? So now, according to this, we penalize, right? And the Mecher is Choser. So you can look at the chart and see. Okay, and we'll read it inside now. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mezik kidesh. So we have the woman case where the man marries the betrothed woman with b'mezik, with Maaser Sheni money, and the transaction works. In this case, the transaction doesn't work b'mezik, and it seems to be exactly the same. You're using Maaser Sheni, which we talked about before, that we compared a kinyan, right, a regular mecher to the kinyan of kiddushin. They're both kinyanis. So why b'mezik in the woman case, it works. And in the mezid of this animal case, it doesn't work. So, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Isha yodat she'ein maaser sheni mitchalalin al yada, ve'ola ve'ochalto b'Yerushalayim. Remember, what was the case there? We talked about if he does it b'shogeg and he's intending to be motzi at l'chulin. This is a case where he's marrying a woman, but the woman knows that she's being married with Maaser Sheni money. And she knows that she needs to bring it to Yerushalayim. It's not like she's going to be motzi l'chulin. The assumption is, this woman knows, okay, keep this in your mind about women knowing things. We'll see, there's going to be a very positive line about women in a few minutes. So the point is that the woman in this case, okay, we're going to assume that she knows when she gets married with Maaser Sheni money, it's Maaser Sheni money, and therefore she's going to bring it to Yerushalayim. There's no reason to put in a knas. Okay, in the case where it was shogeg and no one knew it was Maaser Sheni, then everyone would say mekach tod. I never would have been acquired, right? I never would have agreed to the kiddushin if you told me it was Maaser Sheni. But in this case, she agreed to the kiddushin knowing it was Maaser Sheni. Therefore, we assume she'll use the money in Yerushalayim. So now they say, wait a minute. There's another problem. So with this assumption, we're now going to have a problem between numbers 2 and number 3. Rabbi Yehuda is saying mezi kaddish to now this third case. Matke flava Rabbi Yirmiyah. Everybody knows that if you buy an animal who's tamei, not an animal you can bring, right? What did I tell you? You have to buy fruits in Yerushalayim and animals that you can sacrifice. So what if you bought a behemat tamei or you bought avadim, karkaot? Everybody knows that you can't be mitchalel maaser sheni on them. Utnan, and here comes the mission, and it says, And this is going to be just like the woman knows that she can't use it for anything, right? That she has to use it in Yerushalayim. And what does it say there? There's a Mishnah that says, "Ein lokhim behemat me'a vadim bekarkao b'mao maser sheni, afilu b'Yerushalayim." Right? It doesn't matter whether it's Yerushalayim or chutz l'Yerushalayim. It's not what it's used for. Ve'im lakach yochal yachel kenegdan. Okay, what does this mean? This means that if I purchase, let's say I took my maser sheni money and I bought an eved with it. So now the seller has maser sheni money in his hands. And I wasn't allowed to switch it. So what does it mean? It means the maser sheni money is still kadosh. I can't flip it onto what normally what happens when you do pidyon. I put it on the animal, right? I pay for the animal that I want to buy to bring, in Yerushalayim. And what happens? The animal takes the kedusha, and the money, the kedusha is removed from it. Just like, right, I took fruits, I stuck the kedusha onto the money, then I stuck the kedusha from the money onto the new objects I bought. But in this case, since it doesn't work, what happens? The kedusha is still on the money. So now the mocher has Mao Maser Sheni in his hand. So what should we assume would happen? Just like in the woman case, this guy knows it was Maser Sheni money. He knows that he has to bring that stuff to Yerushalayim. But the halacha here is you don't assume that he's going to do the halacha, and you, as the guy who took that Maser and bought something with it, that with that money, you have to buy the same amount of produce, okay, and basically transfer the Kedusha to that. Okay, you have to take, let's say you bought 100 shekels worth of stuff. You have to, you bought something for 100 shekels. You now have to take 100 shekels of your own money, bring it to Yerushalayim, buy fruits with it, and say that I'm transferring the Kedusha from that money onto this money. So that seems strange, according to what we assume, because don't we know that everybody knows Maser Sheni has to be in Yerushalayim? And therefore, the seller knows when he sold this stuff with Maser Sheni, that he has to bring it to Yerushalayim. So why does it become the lokach's responsibility, the buyer's, instead of the seller's? Okay, just like in the woman case, it was the woman's responsibility. So now, what are the answer? This is, okay, remember this line. Elahacha bi'ishach chaveras kinan diyada. Women, okay, the woman in our case of the Kiddushin was clearly a knowledgeable woman. Okay, so for all those cases where women are not knowledgeable, here we have, okay, this is a good example of, when they're put into a corner, they'll answer anything, right? So now I say, the woman who's getting married in this Mishnah obviously knows what's going on. And she knows the halacha that she can't use it for anything else. Whereas the seller, we're going to assume, now there's an interesting assumption also, that a stam mocher, and as the real assumption here, either you say the Mishnah is in a unique case where it was a very knowledgeable woman, or you say the fact is that women are generally knowledgeable about these things. Now you could say that women are knowledgeable about particularly this area because it's maser and the food and the house, and you could sort of make an argument. Whereas a stam mocher doesn't know so much from maser sheni. Okay, which is possible, right? Often they talk about the people who work in the fields are not so knowledgeable about halacha. I've never really seen it where the sellers aren't necessarily knowledgeable about halacha. But again, they're put into a corner and they figure, it seems clear from the Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'mezi Kidesh that the woman knows and she's going to spend her maser sheni money and that's why it works. And in this case with the sale, the guy doesn't know and that's why it doesn't work. So that's the assumption right now. So now they're going to say, Amar Mar. Now there's a third contradiction. Okay, so we now dealt with the contradiction between the first two. We dealt with the contradiction between the second two. Now we have another problem, which is Amar Mar. Im lakach yachel kenegdan. Okay, so if he actually did buy it, then he has to take fruits keneged that money to basically fix the problem that the mocher has this money. So now they say, wait a minute, that contradicts the first case. What was the first case? Remember? Okay, you could look back, and I underlined it on the sheet. Avama mitzkaven lahotzi mo maser sheni lechulin, which is basically what this guy did, right? He spent maser sheni money on something that was chulin. Bein shogeg bein mezi, what did we say? Yachzeru damim lim komam. The sale should just be off. So why don't we say in that case where he bought these avadim that the sale is a no good sale? It's a mechaf ta'ud. Take your money back, take your animal back, and be done, or take your eved back, or whatever it is. So why do we say, take your own money, right, and go buy Maser Sheni to fix the problem that you created? So now what do they say? So they say, Amai, Yachzeru Damim Umkamam, like in the first one. So they say, Kihatam, like there, right, like in the first case. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel answers, Kishe Barach. It's only, when do you have to be fix this problem. Only, right, if it was a hit and run, right? The guy took off. Okay, in other words, he sold you his animal, and then he runs away. Now, whether he ran away because of this, or it just means he's not around anymore, okay? In other words, if he's there, then you fix the problem, and you return the money, and you return the animal, or the evet, or whatever it is you bought. So now they say, okay, wait. So now we're going to say, ta'ama de barach. Halo barach. So now it seems clear from here, then. Only if the guy is no longer there, right, do you return the money. But, I'm sorry, do you not return the money and you deal with it in this way? But ha lo barach, and this is an obvious assumption, but if he didn't run away and the guy's there, then we go back to the first case, right? Well, what did we say? Kantinan la mocher, right? The mocher gets a knas. Okay, the he's stuck. Now you see also why the mocher gets a knas, because if they didn't make us do that, then what would happen? What we see in this last source. The lokach would have to assume the responsibility, so it's no knas. He doesn't lose out because he anyway has to deal with it. He has to take money in the same amount and go bring Pero to Shalayim. It's the mocher who won out in this case because he got the Master Shani money and he got his item sold, and his Master Shani money anyway is going to be flipped, and it's not going to have Kedusha anyway. So basically, he anyway would get off scot-free. That's why also they say Barach, because he runs away because he knows that the guy bought Master Shani. It's like, I want out of here before he cancels the Mecca. So now they say, why is it a knas lamocher? Niknase la lokeach, right? And this, we're going to see a term we've seen before. Lav achbar ganav ela chora ganav. If a mouse steals food, what does he do with it? He stores it in his hole. Now, if he doesn't have a hole to store it in, well, then he's not going to steal any food. So in other words, while the guy has Master Shani and wants to do an avera and spend it on chulin, if he doesn't have anyone to sell to him, well, then he's not going to be able to do the avera. So that goes into the lifnei iver lo titein machshol, that he's basically enabling, right, the seller is enabling him to do the sale. So then they say, which we saw last time we saw this, which is, by the way, it was in Gittin, I lo achbera chora maika avid. In other words, if the hole is just a hole. He didn't do anything wrong if there wasn't an achbar, right? So the mocher would never have done anything wrong if the buyer didn't come along and spend Master Shani money on him. So why are you assuming that the mocher's responsibility? It's really the buyer's responsibility. So now what do they say? So now they give a different answer. So now we're going to say that the answer I gave you from before, we're going to reject, and we're going to give a different answer as to why the mocher gets knast. And the answer is, mistabra kolhecha di'ike isura hatam kansinan. Right now, where's the Master Shani money? In the hands of the mocher. Because it's in his hands, he's the one who gets knast at this point. Okay, they're going to say it's not a matter of who did what. Right? There's always these chilukim people make between the act or the result. Now, if you go by the act here, well, the act could go either way, right? They both did an act that was wrong. One created the problem, the other enabled the problem to happen, right? In other words, without him, the problem never would have happened. So therefore, they have to look at the result. What's the result? Who's got the Matzer Shani money in his hands? The mocher. So he's the one who's now more responsible, and therefore it's going to be a knas for him. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamikadesh, we're continuing with these different cases of a man who betroths a woman using items of hekdesh or things that are, and now we're going to get to the category of all types of things that are isurei hana'ah, okay, that are forbidden to benefit from them. And by the way, we're going to continue along these types of cases until Nun Chet Amud Bet, in the middle of Sunday's daf, or toward the end, we're going to get to a new parak, okay? And then it's going to be back to other stuff. But now we're still in this kiddushin with something that's sort of like hekdesh. So these are items that all are asur b'hana'ah. So what the Gemara is going to now do is it's going to say, how do you know that this is asur b'hana'ah? How do you know that that is? It's going to be a little more simple than what we had the last few dapim. Hamakadesh be'orla, right? Those are fruits for the first 3 years. Bekil'ah kerem, if you use kilayim, right, with your kerem. In your kerem, you mix two different types. Beshur haniskal, with a shur that was that killed a person. So you have to stone the shur, okay? If you get hana'ah from that, or you try to be Makadish a woman with that, okay? It's going to get interesting in terms of all sorts of, you can try to imagine the scenario of the husband saying, I betroth you with this shur that was stoned, okay? Or, be'egla, okay, we're going to talk about the shur niskal specifically soon. It gets even more interesting. Be'egla arufa, okay, with the egla that when they find a dead body in between two cities and they don't know which city was responsible, so they take this egla, right? We learned about that in Sota. Bitsipore mitzora, okay, the birds that you use for the mitzora sacrifice. Ubisear Nazir. Okay, that's the most interesting one. Okay, you take the Nazir's hair and you try to. Okay, I was thinking about my girls donated their hair recently. You know, you have the hair like in a clump and you send it off. You know, I was thinking, once he takes this clump of hair of the Nazir and tries to marry her with it. Upeter Chamor. Okay, that's the firstborn Chamor. Ubasar B'chalav. Okay, that's Asher, right? Basar and Chalav that were mixed. Remember, it's Asher not only B'achila but also B'hana'a. B'chulin Shenishchitu B'azara. Okay, you're not allowed to take an animal and sacrifice it in the Beit HaMikdash if it's not for sacrifice purposes. So if you did that and you wanted to marry her with that meat, let's say, Eina Mikudeshet. Okay? Doesn't work, obviously, because these are Asher B'hana'a and you're trying to get Hana'a, right? You're trying to use this. Micharan V'kidesh B'dimehem. If you sold them, now this is the thing. You're not allowed to transfer Kedusha from these items. You can't do pidyon, like you can with Maser Sheni. Okay? You can't do pidyon with these. So let's say you took fruits that were Maser Sheni, you flipped them onto a coin, you could obviously marry a woman with those fruits then, because the Kedusha is removed. But in these cases, the Kedusha is not removed. But if you...
Not all Kedusha.
It's not Kedusha, but it's Asr Bahana. So therefore, you can't transfer the Isr Hana from them. Okay, you're right. I didn't say it in the right terminology. Okay, but... right, so now, if you try to switch it onto a coin, okay, like let's say, you know, you sell this stuff, you're not allowed to, but you sell it to somebody else. You now have money in place of it. Does that money have Isser Hana to it? So they say no, you're allowed to actually use that because you can't transfer the Isser Hana. So because of that, the money is fine to be used for Kiddushin. You don't like that.
Okay. It's a loophole for so many things in Judaism.
What? It's
a loophole for so many things.
No, well, you've gotten hana from it. You've been over on an iser. You can't do that. But the point is, since you're not allowed to do that, the iser hana doesn't flip onto the coin.
But you're still getting hana, but you're just not getting directly. You're still getting it.
You're getting hana, and therefore you did something be'isur. You did something wrong. But the kiddushin is in effect because. Also, you're not the one who did the kiddushin. You sold them, and someone else now took the money, right? That's right. You sold them. You have the money. And now you use it to marry someone, right?
So you really are, because I mean,
no, because the money doesn't have Isser Hana on it. That's
okay,
the point.
You are getting Hana from it. You're basically saying,
well, you got Hana with the object.
I get those out of my hands and take the money, and then
so you got your Isser was when you sold it. Because then you got money for
it. Put
it
this way.
But once you did that.
You have chelate, like you're growing grapes and something else grows in your grape, in your thing, and you're not allowed to give it to Jews. You're allowed to sell it to a non-Jew and enjoy the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all these things are things that there's no kedusha in
right.
them.
But that's accidentally growing. Like, if you didn't mean to. But this man, this person.
Even if you intentionally do the Isser and you sell it, there's no.
Right,
so you can get money, and then
you're
right. So it says here in the note, the Rashba apparently says that the really what you're doing is, since you weren't allowed to have sold them, in theory it's really gezel, and you can't marry with something you stole. So he raises that question. So you can look up the Rashba on it.
I wonder if the person who sold them to begin with really cares that he was Isser, like over on the Isser. Like,
right.
I don't really care. I'm going to sell it. Get
it's
the
true.
Money,
he might not
and
care.
I'm going to do something to my benefit with the money.
Yes.
I don't care if I'm over.
It's true.
Like,
it's true. But the fact is, technically speaking, there's no halachic problem with it because, right? Unless you say it's gezel, like the Rashba raises, and he deals with. So I don't know what he says. We have to look
there's
it up.
There's no halachic problem with regard to the kedushin. There is a halachic
right.
problem with
yes.
regard to the set.
Clearly, right,
what
right.
What
I'm saying is whether the kedusha, the Isser Hana, can flip onto coins. There is no concept of Isser Hana by coins. Okay, so therefore these coins can't take on an Isser Hana status. Okay, so now we're going to go into how do we know that all these things are asur b'hana? Okay, we're going to get to the Orla, the Kilei Akarim, and the Shor HaNiskal today. Okay, Be'orla minalan, Ditanya, and I have all the pesukim on the sheet. Arelim, okay, look at the pasuk. Vayikra perik yutep pasuk havgimel. V'ki tavo el ha'aretz unitatem kol etz ma'achal. When you plant trees when you get into the land. V'araltem orlato. We're going to get to those words soon, not yet. Et piryo shalosh, v'araltem orlato et piryo. Shalosh shanim yelachem, arelim lo ye'achel. Or maybe it reads like this, orlatem orlato. Et piryo shalosh shanim yelachem. Right, those first 3 years, it'll be for you. Arelim lo ye'achel. Now, arelim comes from like the arel of the of Brit Milah. You know, someone doesn't have a Brit Milah. It's a bad word. It means it should be forbidden to you. So they say, we learn it from Arilim. So lo ye'achel. So here, what does it sound like? You can't eat them. Ein li ela yisur ha'achila. Hana'a minayin, shelo ye'aneh mimenu. Where do we learn that you can't get benefit from it? Velo yitzbavo, that you can't color with it. Let's say it's a, like they talk about some nuts sometimes, you get color out of them. Or velo yalikbo ataner, you can't use them for lighting anything. Talmud lamar, ve'oraltem or lato. Because it has this double lashon in the middle of the pasuk, it's lerabot et kulam. It's not only, and at the end of the pasuk it talks about yisro achila in the connection of the word orla. Because it uses this double lashon in the middle and adds another, you know, even two words of orla, it comes to teach you any other method that you're getting hana'ah from. Bikilea karam minalam. Where do we learn it from? Amar chizkiya amakra. This is the pasuk. Lo tizrak hamracha kilayim. Look at dvarim perakap pasuk tet. Pen tikdash hamlea hazera asher tizra utfuat hakarim. Okay, so you can't fill it with kilayim. Tikdash, they assume, is lashon of isur. Okay, so that you shouldn't be osir your kerem. So now, what does he say? Pente gdash, that's a weird word, right? It should say, if it's iser, it should say pente aser. Right? Why does it say tikdash? So he darshens the word, pentukad esh. Okay? Lest you should burn it, meaning, not just is it aser, but if you do kilea kerem, you can't use it for burning purposes, which means you can't get hana'ah from it. Rav Ashi has a different understanding. Rav Ashi amar pen yihye kodesh, lest it become like hekdesh. Right? Ima kodesh tofes et dama v'yotzei l'chulin. Period. So therefore he means that it's like hekdesh that you can't get benefit from it. So now what are they going to say? But no. Kilea Karen, we already discussed, having an Yisro Hana is different from hekdesh. Because why? Ima kodesh tofes et dama v'yotzei l'chulin. If we're really going to make this comparison, what did we learn about Hekdesh? You can flip it onto a coin, right? As long as it's Kedushat Damim and not Kedushat Aguf, right? But you can flip it onto a coin, you can do Pidyon, and then it won't be Kodesh anymore. Whereas Kilei HaKerem is Aser forever. You can never flip its Kedusha, and therefore he doesn't like this. The Gemara doesn't like this comparison the Rav Ashi makes with Kodesh and Kilei HaKerem. So therefore the Gemara says, Ela Mechuvarta Kedechizkiah. It sounds like Chizkiah is a better interpretation. Shor haniskal, minayin. Where do we learn the shor haniskal from? Titania. Here's a brayta. Mimash pashenemar sakol yisakel ashor eni yodesh nevelahi unevelah surah ba'achila. What does this pasuk say? Let's look inside for a minute. Shmo perakaval pasuk kafchet. V'ki gach shor et ish o et isha. Okay, a shor kills a man or a woman, vamet, okay, and they die. Sakol yisakel ashor, the shor gets stoned. Below ye achel episaro, and you can't eat its meat. Now, what's strange about that pasuk?
It should be obvious.
It should be obvious because it's a nevela. You haven't shechted it. You've stoned the shor. He's obviously dead, not from shechita. So how could you possibly think you could eat his basar? Okay, and then we're going to see the last three words, which we're also going to darshan. Ubal hashor naki. So now, that's what they're saying. Eni yodesh nevela, yu nevela asura b'achila. So mat hamulom lo ye achel episaro. So what does it come to teach us? Magid lecha she'im shachato la'achar shenigmar dino. Asur ba'achila. Lo yachel ha'pesaro comes to teach you that if this shor came, right, comes to court, the shor was ruled that you have to get stoned, but it hadn't gotten stoned yet. Someone came along and shechted it, okay? So once there was the psak din, right, there's a time lapse between the psak din and the skila. So if the shechita happened at this midpoint before he was stoned and it was a kosher shechita, so maybe you think you could eat the animal. So it comes to teach you, v'lo yachel ha'pesaro, that you can't, okay, if you were to shecht it earlier. We're going to question this soon, but right now that's the assumption. So now we still haven't gotten, this is the brayta, so right, whenever we quote a brayta, sometimes it gives us things we don't necessarily need for our purposes. So now they say, b'hana'a minayim, where do we learn this? Asher b'hana'a also? Talmud lamar, u'ba'al ashor naki. From ba'al ashor naki we learn it. How do we learn it from here? We're going to see right now. My mashma, where does it, my mashma means, how did you learn that from those words, basically? Okay, how does that work? Shima ben Zoma Omer, ke adam sheomer lechavero, yatza ploni naki minechasav. If somebody loses all his money, what do you say? He's naki minechasav. He lost all his money, right? He's got no money. Ve'ein lo bahem hana'ah shel klum. And if he lost all his money, he obviously gets no benefit from them. So when they say ba'al ashor naki, they're darshening it to say, no hana'ah. Okay, it's as if, right, he's wiped out. The Baal HaShur is wiped out from the shore, meaning he can't get Hana'a. Okay, so now they say, now they're going to question the first assumption about this Shchita before Skila. Why do we assume that lo yachel apasaro is talking specifically if you shechted it before shenigmar dino? Dilma, hecha deshachit lachar shenigmar dino. Shari, maybe if you shechted it before shenigmar dino, maybe it would be mutar. V'ha, okay, then how would you explain lo yachel apasaro? V'ha lo yachel apasaro, hecha desakle miskal hudata. It's actually coming to say, right, so we said, first we said lo yachel is coming to talk about the earlier stage, if you did it before. But now they're saying maybe lo yachel pesaro is coming after skila, you can't eat it. So obviously the question is going to be, well, what's the chiddush? That was where we started from. Isn't it nevela? Ukidu Rabbi Avahu. And it goes like Rabbi Avahu Amar Rabbi Elazar, who said in the name of Rabbi Elazar. To Amar Rabbi Avahu Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol makom shenemar lo yachel, lo tochal, lo tochlu, wherever you see in the Torah the words, don't eat something, don't consume it. Echad isur achila ve'echad isur hana'a ad sheparet lecha katuv kederach sheparet lecha benivela. Very interesting chiddush. Okay, we always talk about cases build a binyan up for other cases. What they're going to say is, because by nevela, what did it say? It says, lakelev tashlichu noto. You're allowed to, if you write something, you sheft it improperly, or it's a, you know, it dies on its own, it's a nevela. You're allowed to get hana'ah from it. You can give it to your dog to eat. So therefore, which means basically it's mutar b'hana'ah. So now they say any other time there's an Easter achila without, and it doesn't say you can get benefit, the assumption is it means no hana'ah. So now what are they going to say? The lo ye'achel comes to talk about the stage after the skila, and what's it coming to be mechadesh? Lo yeheneh. You follow? Because the Easter hana'ah we wouldn't have known if it didn't say lo ye'achel apasaro. Okay, they're going to question this soon, so hold off. Okay, so now they're going to say, Hanimile, when he said this issue about lo, what did we say? The lo yachel is unnecessary, right? We didn't need it to teach us Isra Achila, because we know Isra Achila. So now they're going to say, no, we needed it to teach us Isra Hana. But now they're going to say, wait a minute. This concept that Rabbi Abahu said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that anytime it says some sort of Isra Achila, it includes Isra Hana, that's only Hanemile, Hecha Denavkalan Isra Achila Mi Lo Yachel. It's only if the Lo Yachel was coming to actually teach us an Isra Achila. This Lo Yachel isn't teaching us anything. So if you didn't need, what should the Pasuk have said? Lo Yehene. In other words, we didn't need it to say Lo Yachel. If it needs to come to tell us Lo Yachel Isra Achila, then it includes also Isra Hana. But when you didn't even need it at all. So, so therefore they're going to say hacha hanim the hecha denafka lan isra achila milo yachel, but hacha in our case isra achila misakol yisakel nafka, we already know the isra achila from the sakol yisakel, from the fact that he's stoned. Di isa kadatach isra hana hu dichtiv, if they were just coming to teach you lo yachel b'sara, teach you isra hana, nichtov kral lo yehaneh, it should have just said don't benefit. Inami, or alternatively you could say like this, lo yachel b'sara lamali. Why do we need the pasuk lo yachel apasaro? Af agav deshachte ke'em basar asur. Even if you shecht it, one second, how does this work? Apasaro lamali. Right. So then they say lo yachel. Sorry. Another thing you could say is lo yachel. It should have said episaro lamali. And there's another proof that it must be talking about before the Pesach Din, and it's talking about a case where you shechted it, is because it says, it should have just said lo yachel if it wanted to teach you Isra Achila. So, et b'saro lamali, to teach you, af agav deshachte ke'em basar asur. The reason it said et b'saro is to teach you that even if you were to shecht it like you would regular basar, then it's asur. So now we've proven that it is coming to teach you, the lo yachel is coming to teach you if you shechted it before the Pesach Din. Okay, after the Pesach Din, before it was stoned. So now we're going to question this. Matkif lamar zutra. Ve'ema hanemile hecha debadak tzur v'shachat ba. Demechze keskila. Maybe the only time you have an Isra Hana and Isra Achila if you shechted it, okay, or really Isra Achila we're talking about, if you shechted it, is only if you shechted it using a stone. Okay, now there's a halacha by shechita But it has to be something smooth. If it's something ridged, then, or like if it's not a smooth stone and you use it to check the animal, then we're worried that you tore the pipe, I guess, of the animal and not shechted it properly. So it, here we were talking about a smoothed over stone. If you took a smoothed over stone and you shechted it, which would be a perfectly kosher shechita, but, and it would also somewhat count as a skila because you used a stone. So he's saying maybe the Isra Achila is only when you used a stone to do the shechita. But aval shechte b'sakin lo. But if you did a shechita with a sakin the way it's supposed to be done, then it wouldn't work and it wouldn't be Isra b'achila, it would be a perfectly good shechita. So now they say, midi sakin ba'orayta ktiv. What, does it say a sakin in the Torah somewhere? It never says anywhere in the Torah that shechita has to be done with a sakin. Okay, and therefore we might have said, well, that's a perfectly good shechita as opposed to with a stone where it's not a perfectly good shechita. And therefore, if it's done with a sakin, you can't eat it. Ve'od, and not only does it not say in the Torah anywhere about a sakin, but we have a braita that says that you can shecht it with a stone. Tanya, b'kol shochatin, b'ein b'tzur, whether it's a stone, b'ein b'zchuchit, you could use glass, b'ein b'kromit shel kaneh, you could use the stalk of a reed. Anything that can kill the animal properly, right, as long as it's smooth, that works for shechita. So therefore, you can't start distinguishing between whether you did it with a stone and you did it with a knife. And as their assumption was, if you did it with a stone, it's not a perfectly proper shechita the way it was supposed to be. And therefore, you can't eat it. But if you did it with a knife, it would be okay and you'd be allowed to eat it. So now they say, v'hashta d'nafkalan isur achil of isur hana, travayu milo ye'achel. So now what have we learned? We've learned that this lo ye'achel at b'saro is coming to teach you, number one, isur achila, and also isur hana. Okay? So now, and it's obviously talking about before the skila, because the Isra Achila we already know of, about the Isra Achila after the skila, we would need Lo Yechel. So Lo Yechel comes to teach us, if you shechted the animal before it was stoned, then you can't eat it, and you can't get hana from it, and obviously you can't get hana from it if you stoned it, right? So now, Hai Bala Shor Naki L'mai Ata. So then what do we need? Bala Shor Naki. Remember we learned Isur Hana first from Bala Shor Naki. Now we're saying, based on Rabbi Abau in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that from Lo Yechel, we can already learn also the Isur Hana. So what do you need Bala Shor Naki for, according to this interpretation? Right now we're playing that drasha game. If you darshan that from there, what do you do with that one? Okay? Lahana'at Oro. Okay? That you can't benefit not only from the meat of the animal, because what did it say? Lo yechel b'saro.
Yeah.
Right? So therefore, it's coming to teach you, Bala Shor Naki, you can't get benefit even from its skin. Salka da tachamina, lo yechel b'saro k'tiv. B'saro asur v'oro mutar. You might have thought the skins were mutar, right? To use the hide for making, you know, pocketbooks, anything you want, shoes. Lahanach t'nai demafke hai Bala Shor Naki. So now, what do we say? Bala Shor Naki, right? We have one interpretation that Bala Shor Naki comes to teach you Isur Hana. Now we have another one that is coming to teach you that the or is forbidden. So now they say, well, what about the fact that there's someone else who darshins something else entirely from Bala Shor Naki? And what do they learn? L'chatzi kofer u'l'dmev ladot. What does that mean? If a shor tam, okay, we're going to get to this soon in Bava Kamma, there's a shor tam and a shor muad. A shor tam is a shor who hasn't done anything bad yet, right? Up to three times. Third time is called a shor muad. If he's a shor tam, then you don't even have to pay this kofer, this fine that we put on the one who does it, b'mezid. The shor muad. So he is naki l'chatzi kofer. Bala shor naki means if it was a shor tam, he doesn't have to pay the dmei kofer. And the dmev ladot, okay? If there were extra, you know, the animal was pregnant, then you don't have to pay him for that either, if it's a short time. So therefore, if you darsh a bala shor naki for that, for the dmev ladot.
If he gored a pregnant woman.
What?
It says here that if he gored a
pregnant woman. Oh, if he gored a pregnant woman, you're right. Sorry, I was thinking about the animal. You're totally right. My mistake. If he gored a pregnant woman. Right, then you'd have to pay him also, you'd have to pay the Dmei Vladot. So you don't have to do that if the shore is a short time. Thank you for correcting me. So now they say, Hana'ataro minale. So where are you going to learn that you can't get benefit from the ore? Right, exactly. I was thinking something did, Sarah. Yeah. By the end of class, my head's not thinking as clearly. Okay, so where do we learn it from? So now, where do we learn the oro from? Me'et bisaro. Really, lo yechel, you could have just said lo yechel. You don't need the basar. So what do they teach you from the basaro? Et ha tafel le basaro. Not only the basar, it comes to include Right? This is the big, okay, we're going to see in a second. This is the big thing about etim, right? Your darshan etim, if your darshan et, like, kabed et avicha v'etim echa, what do we say? Includes your older brother, or, you know, things like that, right? My brother loved to quote that one. Okay. All older brothers clearly darshan etim b'Torah, okay? So it would be a good thing to start questioning, like, who were the ones who did darshan, where they were in the family.
Their families, right.
Okay. Minale me et bisaro. I think you would probably say the opposite. I don't know if the brother, older brothers care so much, but the younger brothers definitely, or younger sisters, would be the ones who would not darshan the etim. Okay. So now what do they say? Me et bisaro, that's his fellow bisaro. So et includes. So now they say, well, be edach, the other guy who doesn't darshan this. So what does he say? Very simply, et lo darish. He doesn't darshan etim. Kiditanya, now we're going to see the thing about darshaning etim. Shimon Ham Soni Va'amrele Nechemya Ham Soni. Okay, there was this guy. His name was either Shimon Ham Soni or Nechemya Ham Soni. Haya Doresh Kol Etin Shabbat Torah. He would darshan all the etim in the Torah. Kevan Shigia Le'et Hashem Elokecha Tira Perish. Since he perash, he said, forget it. He got to Et Hashem Elokecha Tira, and he said to himself, what could possibly be included in fear of God? There's nothing that compares to fear of God. So you can't possibly include anything else in that pasuk. So we darshan all the etim, okay, right, whether it's a little hagzama, but let's assume we darshan many etim Shabbat Torah. He got to that pasuk and he said, obviously I made a mistake, because this can't possibly include anything. There's nothing that comes close to Yirat Shamayim. Amrulo Talmidav, Revi, kol etin shadarashta matehe alehem, right? So the students ask him, I don't understand. You spent your life darshaning all this Torah. What's going to be with it? Just gets erased. Amar lehem, kishem shekibalti sachar ala drusha, kach kibalti ala prisha. Okay, he says, now some of them, I think it's the Marasha, who says here that what he's trying to say is that I learned all these things, lechvod Torah, and now I'm realizing the kvod Torah basically prevents me, you know, kvod of God, Yirat Shamayim is preventing me from darshaning anything else, so therefore I'm undoing what I did, but it's not like it's erased, it's that, you know, I got Sahar for that, I get Sahar for this. Okay, it's a very important line, right, that you have to learn to, when you make a mistake, to, you know, say, it's okay. Ad Shabbat, but this has a happy ending, because, right, you probably know this, it's a famous drasha, Ad Shabbat Rabbi Akiva Belimeid, Et Hashem Lekecha Tira, Lerabot Tamidei Chachamim. And he said, no, you can include Tamidei Chachamim because they represent God and they in this world, basically. And therefore, it's okay, you can unerase, do hit the undo button. Right, so anyway, right, you have to question about Tamidei Chachamim nowadays to find the right Tamidei Chachamim and which ones are the ones that represent the appropriate fear of God. Maybe it's a lesson to Talmidei Chachamim that they should view themselves also as part of this pasuk and hold themselves to a very high standard.